It's International Podcast Day, and here I am on International Podcast Day doing what I do best, podcasting for all of you, here on the final Wednesday in the month of September, and you guys are ending it the way that you started the month. You're watching me. You're ending it with the Sala Monster here for your AEW Dynamite review here on Wednesday, September 30th. What's going on, guys? I hope you guys are having a great night. I hope you enjoyed that show as much as I did. I thought it was a very good show tonight. Very solid edition of AEW Dynamite. Nothing that really I think people are going to be raving about tomorrow morning other than maybe the tag team match. That tag team title match was excellent. I did like that match. And that match was a clinic in many ways with a very old school wrestling finish. And I wonder how many of you, if you are longtime fans, know what that finish was a callback to. Gotta wish a happy birthday to superstar Steve Mello. You might have heard me mention Steve's name before. Steve is a fantastic individual. Steve, in fact, is the webmaster and mastermind behind ProWrestlingLinks.com. You guys need to go ahead and bookmark that website. It's going to be a very valuable resource for many of you. But happy birthday to Steve. Hey, you know who else's birthday it is today? Steve ain't the only one celebrating a birthday today. There's another birthday.
Cameron Grimes!
That's right. It's Cameron Grimes' birthday. Cameron Grimes turns 27 years old today. So happy birthday to Steve and happy birthday to
Cameron Grimes!
That's right. Now I want to start off this review with an NXT note. So we're going to get into all the AEW stuff in a second. Not the NXT show tonight. I'm not spoiling anything. But you may have heard about the news a little bit earlier today. There was a pre-takeover conference call with Triple H. He does these usually a few days before every takeover show. And he was talking about Tegan Nox because there was a lot of confusion coming out of the show. Last week, is Tegan Nox actually hurt? Does she have a torn ACL? Is it all just an angle? Is it a storyline? That's what I figured it was because I mean, what was she doing, right? There was no match that she would have gotten hurt in. They did this angle where she's laid out on the floor. If she was really injured with a serious tear like that, would they be doing that? So I really didn't think there was anything wrong. But unfortunately, it looks like I was wrong because at the very end of that conference call, Triple H made a comment that, in fact, Tegan Nox did tear her ACL again. And she had already had surgery to repair it. I find it very odd that Triple H would bring that up kind of out of nowhere at the very end of the call. And he didn't really address how the injury happened, the severity of the injury, when the injury took place. Didn't really give any information at all. Because again, I don't believe that Tegan has even been part of a match since that tri-branded battle royal on SmackDown in the middle of August. I don't believe that she's had a match since mid-August. Well, here we are at the end of September. Clearly, this just happened. When would this have happened? That's what I find a little confusing about this whole thing. It's possible that it just happened in training. I believe that's how her first ACL tear in WWE happened. They brought her in to be part of the very first Mae Young Classic. She didn't make it into the Mae Young Classic. I think she was at the Performance Center, and I think that's where the injury happened. So it's entirely possible that, you know, that's what happened here again. And of course, it was during the second Mae Young Classic when she injured her other knee and she tore her other ACL. That's three ACL tears in 3 years. And that's both of her knees, not just one knee. It's the left knee. It's the right knee. Three tears in 3 years going back to 2017. And that was, you know, the last one was devastating because the last injury, her knee basically exploded. It wasn't even just a torn ACL. You know, she tore her MCL, she tore her LCL. I didn't even know you had an LCL. I don't even know what an LCL is, but I hope I never tear it. Torn ACL, torn MCL, torn LCL, both meniscuses, torn, fractured tibia. I mean, she did a number on herself. That injury was a mess. And then you have the recovery period, and it's not an easy injury to recover from. So she had to go through this two times already, and now, if this is to be believed, this is going to be number three. This woman or her knees have been snake bitten. And I feel really badly for her. And, you know, there, and by the way, I should actually bring this back even a little bit further, because she hurt her knee a lot longer ago than just 3 years ago. Her knee troubles extend all the way back to when she was 13 years old. She was an avid football player. Well, for us peons here in America, we call it soccer. But she played football, I think, over in Wales, and she was 13 years old, and she suffered a knee injury, and that was pretty much it. She wasn't really playing football ever again after that, as far as I know. I don't know if that was a tear. I don't know how extensive that injury was. So she has a history of knee injuries going back to her teenage years. And now 3 torn ACLs in 3 years. Look, I hope she can come back from this. I hope, you know, look, positive vibes to her. She's only 25 years old, but she's 25 years old with 3 ACL tears. And in my mind, I'm thinking there's no coming back from that. Some people might be able to do that, but that's a tough road for anybody, whether you're an athlete or not. You know, at some point, you've got to consider quality of life. You're 25 years old, but you need your knees for the next 50, 60 years, 70 years of your life. At the rate that she's going, she's going to have her knees replaced when she's in her 30s. You know, at some point, you got to really just take a kind of a long, hard look and say, what should my future be here? And you got to look after your own health. And I think that's the situation that she's in now. But I wish her well. Maybe wrestling, though, just isn't the best thing for her to be doing after this. So anyway, that's the Tegan Knox update. Unfortunately, don't know the extent of it, but clearly it's not good news. So now we switch over to AEW Dynamite as we welcome more people here. We open with the match I was looking forward to the most. This is the match that I thought maybe would happen at All Out. We didn't get it at All Out. We had a Battle Royal instead, and they were able to drag this out for a few more weeks. We didn't get the big six-man tag last week because of Lance Archer's diagnosis. But this week, we got the singles match at long last between Darby Allin and absolute Ricky Starks, one of my favorite stars in all of AEW, a star of the future. Both of these guys, but especially Ricky Starks. They opened the show with a very hot 10-minute grudge match. There was an early run-in by Brian Cage, who was back this week. He never did make it through the ropes. As he was about to climb into the ring, big Will Hobbs came out, and Will Hobbs said, "I don't think so." And he brawled with him to the back. We had Allin catching Ricky with a Fujiwara armbar. Starks reached for the ropes. Allin hooked his arm, locked his fingers, and Starks had to get his head under the bottom rope in order to break the move. There was a flipping stunner by Darby. The highlight here was a mid-air spear. So Darby came off the ropes with a springboard. You know what this reminded me of? There was a spot in WCW many years ago. This was in, like, I think the dying days of WCW. And I think it was on Thunder. It was a match between Goldberg. Oh, God. Was it Lodi? Or Kwee-wee? What was he calling him? I think it was Kwee-wee. Whatever he was calling himself. It didn't last very long. The match started, he got a little bit of offense, and I think he came off with a springboard, and Goldberg just cut this guy. I mean, he sawed him in half in midair with a spear. And that's kind of what that reminds me. Only, obviously, Ricky Starks is not the size of Bill Goldberg, but he may as well have been here. I love that. Love that midair spear. So Ricky was on the top rope, and he was setting up for an avalanche backbreaker. I think it was a backbreaker. Darby escapes, knocks him off, hits the coffin drop right onto the injured lower back of Ricky Starks and gets the pin. And so Darby Allin, at least in this first battle, I don't know if we're going to get more matches. I hope we do. I actually hope we get more matches between these two, even though Darby got a decisive win here. This was a hot way to open the show. I enjoyed this. A nice, hot, quick 10-minute match. You can't ask for more than that. We got the Super Chats coming in fast and furious here. I love it. I love seeing it. Give them all to me. Give them all the messages, all the questions. We're going to be reading them all here as we go along tonight. Love it. We had Dasha. Dasha was out. She was in the ring to interview Cody. Now with his new black hairdo, right? And Dasha wanted to know if Cody... Now, remember, last week, Brody Lee laid down the gauntlet. He laid down the gauntlet to an old-school dog collar match for the TNT Championship. Dasha wanted to know if Cody would accept Brody Lee's challenge. And Cody talked about how the optics in pro wrestling are very important. He mentioned the optics of a match that bloody and that violent, and him being, you know, an executive vice president in the company. He says, my answer is no. And Cody goes to leave. And so I figured, all right, they're going to drag this out for another week. And that sets up the match on the anniversary show on October 14th. So they'll milk it one more week. Instead, Cody has a change of heart. And he comes back down to the ring. And now he's getting really animated. He says, no. He goes, no, as in no regrets. He says, no, as in no looking back. We enter much different than we look. And he accepts the challenge for next week to a dog collar match with Brody Lee. At that point, Brody Lee storms the ring. This giant pull-apart brawl breaks out. All the AEW dark wrestlers are out to try to separate them and break them up. And here comes Brandi Rhodes. By the way, Brandi has her Shot of Brandi show on YouTube, where she's basically in the kitchen cooking something different and drinking with her guests each week. She's had a few really enjoyable episodes with Orange Cassidy, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone. The Tony Schiavone one is actually very good. I enjoy it. She had Tony Khan on the most recent one. And here's Tony Khan, the young billionaire owner. I guess his father would technically be the owner, but part owner of AEW. And he's there. He looks like he's at a frat party. I love it. I love the fact he looks like a fan. He's there with his t-shirt. He looks like he just rolled out of bed. He had a drink in his hand. He loves to drink it straight. He doesn't want any ice. I don't know if he was already half shit-faced. I don't know. Again, he just rolled out of bed. It's just, if somebody were to stumble upon this video, they would look at this guy and they would wonder who this is. And I think when they would find out that he's the owner and the president of this company, they would be stunned. And I just find it very interesting when you compare. You got the two big promotions basically in this country right now are WWE and AEW. And you could not find two owners, not just the age difference, but just two owners who just are, who look, who sound, who act completely different. But it was enjoyable for the 13 minutes that it lasted. So anyway, here comes Brandi Rhodes, right? Here comes Brandi Rhodes storming down to the ring. And she climbs up to the top rope and she hits a flipping senton down onto all of the Dark Order members on the outside of the ring. And I think only one of them, it might have been Silver, one of them caught her. This looked very ridiculous. I thought this looked completely ridiculous. Anna Jay comes up from behind her. The ladies start swinging. They're throwing, you know, they're basically flailing away at each other. Brody goes to leave. He comes back into the ring. The fight begins again. I'll tell you what, I'm surprised. Now, I watched Brandi come down and brawl with Anna Jay. And I am surprised. I'm surprised that they're not waiting to do the championship match until the anniversary show. Because I figured they're going to want to load that show up. They have Moxley and Archer. But maybe they want to do a TNT title match as well. And so next week, you can set up a mixed tag as the precursor to the dog collar match. So you get Cody and Brandi against Brody and Anna Jay. That would make sense. That then sets up the dog collar match. But no, they're going right to the dog collar match next week, and so I just find that surprising. Maybe they're going to give us a singles match with Anna Jay and Brandi Rhodes. I don't know. I thought Cody's fire was great, accepting the challenge. The pull apart was fine. I could have done without the Brandi ball. That's Brandi's cannonball. Call it the Brandi ball. I just came up with that. I haven't been drinking, I promise you. So that's coming up next week. Let me just go through some of the early super chats here, because Lord Frieza is not on the stream, but he always drops in with some love. Tonight, $5 from Lord Frieza. And Garrus Vakarian with the $2. Eddie Kingston and the Lucha Bros equal money. Indeed. Eddie Kingston equals money. Eddie Kingston with a microphone in his hand equals money. Can't go wrong with that. You can never go wrong with Eddie Kingston and a mic. Tony Schiavone, poor Tony. Tony was not on commentary tonight. Tony was preparing for this segment here. He was in the back. He was with FTR and Tully Blanchard. And he's conducting this interview. And then Tony decides to ask Harwood about the Young Bucks. And Dax Harwood drops a Dave Meltzer reference here on the show. And he mentions Dave Meltzer and says that if stars from Dave constitute a title match, then maybe the Bucks could get a match at some point. So I'm sure that's going to sit well with all the Meltzer haters out there, seeing him get mentioned on the show, and that'll just set them off now about AEW. Matt Jackson comes into camera view out of nowhere and gives a super kick to Tony Schiavone. Hit Tony in the shoulder, but Tony sold it like he was shot. What did poor Tony Schiavone do? The man is 60-something years old. Looks good for 60, but the man is 60-something years old. I mean, it's one thing if they want to kick Alex Marvez in the face. I mean, by all means, go ahead. But they kick poor Tony Schiavone. And then Matt is acting all sarcastic. Oh, what? I didn't, you know, like he didn't mean to do it. And then he goes, hey, Nick, wait up. And we never saw Nick Jackson. And something is going on with Nick Jackson. And I don't know what it is. Hopefully he's okay. But something is going on with Nick Jackson. This, I think, is like the third week in a row now that we've seen Matt Jackson, but not Nick Jackson. And in every single one of these segments, he's acting as if Nick is there. Nick is in the dressing room, but he's not. Hey, Nick, wait up. Nick's not there. I don't know where Nick Jackson is. Nick Jackson could be, he could be halfway across the world for all we know. So something's going on with Nick Jackson. So now Dasha moves on to interview Scorpio Sky and Frankie Kazarian in the back. They're getting ready for their match with FTR. She does the interview. And as they're getting ready to come out, Sean Spears is waiting in the gorilla position. He's looking at them. He's looking at Scorpio Sky. He's like, good luck. And off SCU goes for their match. I don't know what that was about. Maybe there's something going on that I've missed on AEW Dark involving the two of them. He didn't come out. He didn't really factor into this at all, but maybe he just wanted to wish them good luck. Maybe he was just being a good sport. Is he even with Tully anymore? Do we know if he's officially with Tully Blanchard still, or have they quietly ended that pairing? Because Tully Blanchard don't need Sean Spears. Sean Spears probably needs Tully Blanchard. But Tully's already got himself the tag team champions. I don't think he really needs to concern himself anymore with the gloved one. Ryan Spies with the $5. David Arquette, running joke from another podcast, he says. And Luther getting a match on TV next week is incredibly random, but amazing. Yeah, I don't know the whole David Arquette inside joke. I don't get it. Maybe somebody can clue me in. We got our 20-minute brush with death. Not brush with death. Brush with greatness. Holy shit. That's a totally different kind of match. I was going to say 20-minute brush with death. This was the 20-minute brush with greatness. That's what they're calling it. That's this, I guess, weekly FTR challenge. For the AEW Tag Team titles, FTR against Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky of SCU. Hangman Page joined for commentary. Excalibur clued him in. Apparently Hangman didn't know. Excalibur clued him in and said, you know, because, you know, Hangman says, sure, he wants to get back to doing the tag team thing. And Excalibur says, well, Kenny Omega really doesn't want to do the tag team thing. Kenny Omega wants to move on. He wants to branch off back into the singles ranks. And Hangman said, oh, really? He goes, has he had any singles matches recently? Because, you know, he's had two of them, two or three. And he says, has Kenny had any singles matches? Look, the man's got a point. When was the last Kenny Omega singles match we saw? Guy's got a point. Even when he's drinking, the guy's got a point. This was, I thought this was an excellent match. This was just a very well-worked tag team match with an old-school heel manager finish that looked very familiar if you are a longtime fan, a longtime WWE fan. Early in the match, Wheeler faked a leg trip. Chris Daniels was outside in SCU's corner, and Wheeler faked a leg trip. Daniels never touched him. But the referee, it didn't stop Paul Turner from throwing Christopher Daniels down. Now, I thought the referee can't call what he doesn't see. But the referee just took his word for it and says, you're out of here. So Christopher Daniels is flipping out, as he has every right to do. That was a bullshit call. But again, very, very good match. Builds to the finish here. Scorpio Sky got a whole series of near falls on Cash Wheeler. He tries to suplex Wheeler back into the ring from the apron. Tully Blanchard reaches in and he grabs a hold, and the referee doesn't see this because the referee, as we've established, is a moron. And Tully Blanchard reaches in and he trips Scorpio Sky, grabs his ankle and he trips him, and Wheeler falls down right on top of him, and Blanchard holds the ankle down. He can't kick out, and FTR picks up the win. Indeed, it was the Bobby Heenan finish from WrestleMania 5, the very move that he used to help Ravishing Rick Rude win the Intercontinental title from the Ultimate Warrior. A rare pinfall loss for the Ultimate Warrior. You can probably count on one hand how many times the Ultimate Warrior was pinned on TV, and I'm not counting that Andre the Giant pin from Italian television in 1989 or whatever it was. Forget that. I could think of the Warrior being pinned by Rick Rude. I could think of the Warrior being pinned by Sergeant Slaughter, both of which were bullshit finishes, by the way, right? Interference and all that. And he got pinned in WCW by Hogan in that horrific Halloween Havoc match. What am I missing? Any other times that the Ultimate Warrior was pinned on TV? Those might be the only three. I'm drawing a blank on any others, so Bobby Heenan is responsible for one of them, and being the Bobby managed Tully, I like that little callback. I have no idea if that's why they did it, but I love that little callback there. I think that's great. So now Excalibur had a major announcement. Jim Ross tells Excalibur, go ahead and make the announcement. Excalibur says that they're going to be having an 8-man single elimination tournament that starts. Actually, did they say when it starts? I don't think so. They didn't say that it starts next week, so sometime in the next few weeks, there's going to be a tournament that begins, and the winner of that tournament is going to get an AEW championship match. The finals of this tournament will take place at the next pay-per-view, November 7th. That's Full Gear. That's a month from next Wednesday. The finals will take place on that show. The winner gets a shot at the AEW World Champion. Now, what they did not do is make it clear to me whether or not that championship match is happening at Full Gear. I would have to assume the AEW title is going to be defended on that show. So unless Jon Moxley is going to defend the title against some other random person, and they're going to save the world title match with the tournament winner for an episode of Dynamite in November or December, I hear that and I think, okay, they're going to have the finals of the tournament that night, and whoever wins that very same night is going to challenge Moxley for the title. That's my understanding of it. Now, if AEW explained otherwise, then somebody will correct me. But that's what it sounded like to me. You win the tournament that night you get your title shot. And we know three names so far in the tournament: Jungle Boy, Rey Fénix, and Kenny Omega. That's three of the eight. Those are three very interesting names to be in this tournament. Jungle Boy is great, Rey Fénix is great, and if we get to start seeing kind of the Kenny Omega of old, now that he's going back to doing the singles thing, those are three heavy hitters right there in that tournament. I don't expect Rey Fénix to win. I don't expect Jungle Boy to win. But those are three pretty big names right there. Hangman, when he learned that Kenny was going to be in the tournament, he looked conflicted. Didn't really know what to say. And then he said, I gotta go. And he threw his headset and he rushed off. I think it's always a good idea to do a tournament. You don't want to overdo tournaments, but it's always a good idea to do a tournament like this because it gives all the matches on TV that are going to build up to the pay-per-view, it gives them a meaning. It gives them purpose. So now they're not just matches that are being thrown out there for no reason. There are going to be however many, X number of matches on, I guess, six, seven matches on TV, if we assume that there's no draws, that you can fill TV time with on Dynamite that actually means something and will build to the finals on pay-per-view. So I think it's a good idea, and I think it's the perfect setup to the finals of this tournament being Hangman Page, who is absolutely going to be in this tournament. I guarantee you. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. He's going to be in this tournament. Now, they're going to want you to think that we're going to get a Hangman Omega match. It really all depends on where they fall in the bracket. If they're going to be in the same bracket early on, that could mean that they're in the opening round. That could mean they're in the semifinal round. Maybe not in the finals. But to me, this sets up perfectly for a Hangman Omega final, and that's a big match to promote for the next pay-per-view. They're both going to want that world title match. But Hangman is still hoping to stay tag team partners with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega doesn't want to be tag team partners with him. So you've already got that story just plugged right in there. Then it becomes a matter of who wins. And I pointed out to you guys before, Full Gear is going to be one full year since the non-sanctioned match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. So you could be in a situation where Kenny Omega wins this tournament and then challenges Moxley that night, gets his win back, and wins the world championship. Now that we've gotten past All Out, I didn't think it would be the right time for Moxley to lose that title to MJF. Full Gear feels like it might be the best time. And I'd be okay with that. So if it's Omega, this could be, here we are, full circle, right back to Omega and Moxley. Maybe Omega's a heel by that point, depending on what goes down with him and Hangman. And he wins the championship. And then, but you still have the issue with Hangman and Omega. So you could just kind of take it from there. So that's kind of how I see things playing out. It should be Omega and Moxley. But we still have to find out who's in the tournament. We only have three of the eight names. But I like that. I like the whole idea of even doing the tournament. I think it's a smart move. I think it's a very smart move to go ahead and do that. Chris Jericho against Isaiah Cassidy. This was Isaiah Cassidy of Private Party. Only his second singles match since 2015. This is now 2020. So this guy had one singles match before this in the last 5 years. This was singles match number two. And he took most of it. Jericho gave him the majority of the offense in this match. I thought Cassidy looked good early on outside Cassidy. He backdropped Jericho into the audience. And one of the wrestlers in the audience was Luther, right? The hardcore legend himself, Luther. Good friends with Chris Jericho, going back to their days up in Stampede Wrestling. They go back decades. Luther did a whole Talk is Jericho podcast, in fact, with Chris Jericho. May have even helped maybe put a good word in for Luther when Luther got signed to his contract. Who knows? I mean, if I had a friend, I'd at least try to put a good word in for him, right? So he gets backdropped, and Luther, it looks like Luther's trying to help him up. Jericho shoves him, and so Luther got himself a cool moment here. He got to clothesline Jericho over the barricade. Over the guardrail, I should say. There was a tornado dive out to the floor by Isaiah Cassidy. He's twirling through the air. He wipes out the inner circle. Senton bomb off the top rope to Jericho for a close near fall. So now we get to the end. Cassidy, he crotches Jericho. He crotches him on the second turnbuckle. Cassidy hits a cutter for a two count. And he avoids the springboard drop kick, hits a springboard stunner for a near fall. Cassidy gets his knees up on the lion salt by Jericho, hits one of his own for a two count. Then he hit a code breaker. So Isaiah Cassidy hits a lion salt and a code breaker, both for near falls. He's taking Jericho's whole arsenal here. He's using Jericho's own moves against him. Cassidy goes for some springboard attack, but he jumps right into the Judas effect, and that's all she wrote. 1-2-3, Chris Jericho wins. The outcome here was never in doubt. It was just a matter of what kind of performance is this kid going to have, because he's not used to being a singles wrestler. Like I said, two singles matches after tonight, two in 5 years. I thought he did very well. You know, he hit all of his spots. He hit some of Jericho's spots. But you knew Jericho was going to win. But he's trying to give some of the young guys some shine. That's what he does. He did that with Orange Cassidy. They had three matches. and he ended up in a vat of mimosa. Jericho right now, he had his run as the world champion. He's still the leader of his own faction. He's got this other story with MJF that's kind of unfolding. Now he's doing the tag team thing with Jake Hager. But Jericho right now, he's in this mode of trying to, you know, give some rub to the younger guys, trying to work with them, and they can beat him up and have all this offense. And then he just goes, boom, he gives him an elbow and he wins. Not a bad spot to be in. Now he's going to give some rub to his good friend Luther. When the match was over, Jericho and Hager, they were brawling with Luther and Serpentico. I guess they're a tag team now. They're called Chaos Project. They are undefeated so far in their appearances on AEW Dark. And that sets up a tag team match now for next week. So Jericho, for Jericho and Hager now, they're in the tag team division. That's going to be an easy win for them. I suspect, unless he's going to put his friend over, I suspect that this will be the end of the undefeated streak for Chaos Project. But Luther will get he'll get a spot on Dynamite. On the big Chris Jericho anniversary show, no less. He's giving look at Jericho. He's giving the young guys rub. How old is Isaiah Cassidy? They said, 23 years old? He's given young guys like Jungle Boy and Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy some of that veteran rub. And then he's going to give some to Luther, who's a hell of a lot older than 23 years old. Luther hasn't been 23 years old probably in about 53 years. But he's going to give him some of that rub next week, too. This guy should have been a masseuse with all the rubs that he's given. We had a vignette from the arcade. It was an arcade somewhere that had an axe-throwing station. It was Kip Sabian and Miro. We know both of them are Twitch gamers, so of course they're playing games. So that makes sense. And they're discussing preparations for Kip's bachelor party. Because remember, Miro is the best man. And he's going to assist with putting together this bachelor party. And Miro was very upset because he wanted Kip Sabian to have what he called a Rumspringa bachelor party. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have no idea what that means. I've heard it used before, but I have no idea what it means. I don't know that I've ever been to... I've been to plenty of bachelor parties. Believe that's how I hurt my knee. But I don't know that I've ever heard of a Rumspringa bachelor party. So someone who is cooler than I am will have to fill me in as to what that is. But Miro was upset because he can't do it. He said because of the damn pandemic. He can't throw this guy his Rumspringa bachelor party. So they're playing some kind of game. We can't see what it is. Sabian goes off. Miro is playing. And some other guy comes up next to Miro. But we can't see who it is. We know it's not Kip Sabian. You're just waiting for the reveal. Okay, who is it? Who's making a cameo here? And the camera pulls back. And see, here's a reference I actually do know. I recognize who this guy was right away. They pull back. And who is it? It's Billy Mitchell. Now, if you ever saw the movie or documentary King of Kong, he's kind of the star of King of Kong. There he is on Dynamite. There's Billy Mitchell. He's the first person to ever achieve a perfect score in Pac-Man. And he's the first person, I believe, to ever reach a million score in Donkey Kong. Hence the King of Kong. We had Orange Cassidy against 10 of the Dark Order. 10 took off Orange Cassidy's sunglasses, placed them on John Silver. John Silver is great. I know I'm not the biggest Dark Order fan. I'm really not. I'm still not. They haven't exactly won me over, but John Silver is quite great. This was just a quick exhibition, really, for Orange Cassidy. 10 got a little bit of offense in at the beginning, but Cassidy did a dive out onto the members of the Dark Order that were there. I think Colt Cabana was out there, a couple of other people. Cassidy hit the Orange Punch and a beach break, as Excalibur called it, for the pin. We had MJF barging in on Chris Jericho. He came bearing gifts to the Inner Circle locker room. So in comes MJF, and he's got track jackets, and I couldn't tell what was on them. I assume it was an MJF logo or something. but he had track jackets for all the members of the Inner Circle. He had one for Chris Jericho. He had one for Jake Hager. He had one for Ortiz. He had one for Santana. And when he went to go pull one out for Sammy Guevara, there's no jacket. So he chews out Wardlow. Are you sure there wasn't a jacket for him? He was so upset. God, this is so embarrassing, he said, being as sarcastic as a person can possibly be. And Sammy said, look, I don't care. Why are you here? And that led to a back and forth with Jericho and MJF. Jericho says, look, I want to know, do you want to join the Inner Circle? I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you a few weeks ago. Do you want to join the Inner Circle? Remember, MJF said that he's a lone wolf looking for a wolf pack. He's looking to join some kind of faction. Frankly, after, you know, tonight, I'm looking at all the different groups in this company, and I think MJF, he might be going with Serpentico and Luther. That's the big swerve coming. That's right. Yeah. That'll bring him some great fortune. So Jericho says, are you going to join the Inner Circle? Is that what you want to do? MJF says, well, he goes, do you want me to join the Inner Circle? And so back and forth we go. Do you want to join? Well, do you want me to join? MJF says, look, I want to congratulate you on 30 years in this great sport. And Jericho says, thank you. I appreciate that. MJF leaves. Sammy Guevara says, what a loser. And Jericho says, no, wait a minute. He goes, maybe not. Maybe not. So they're trying to build up some intrigue. What does he mean by that? What does Chris Jericho mean by that? It looks to me like what's going on here is MJF may be angling for Sammy's position in the Inner Circle. And Sammy can see it. Sammy doesn't like MJF, and so there could be some friction that's forming there. I don't know where this is going, but that's my impression coming out of this segment. Based on no jacket for Sammy and Sammy yelling at MJF and insulting him and stuff, he might be looking to take Sammy's spot. We had Britt Baker against Red Velvet. Jim Ross was quick to point out that that was his favorite cake. This was Britt Baker's first match on Dynamite since Nyla Rose landed on her leg. That was on May 20th. That was before Double or Nothing. So that's how long it's been since we've seen Britt Baker in a match on Dynamite. And this was, again, kind of like the Orange Cassidy match. It was really just meant to be an exhibition for Britt Baker. Red Velvet got some offense. She hit a leg lariat, hit a bulldog for a near fall. Britt set up a sling blade. Baker hit a neck breaker and a curb stomp for the win and put on lockjaw when the match was over. Well, at least she had enough sense to put a glove on. She asked Reba for a black glove and she put the mandible claw on, and it's good to see Britt Baker back in action. Eddie Kingston came out. He walks out to the ring. He's arm in arm, all this big cheesy smile on his face, and he walks out with referee Bryce Remsburg. And they go to a break. They come back. Now, Remsburg was the referee for the match between Kingston and John Moxley last week. Eddie Kingston did not tap out. He passed out. So they're talking, and obviously Kingston was very upset about this. Hey, you and I, we go back a long time, many years, and what happened? And Remsburg says, well, you know, you got to separate our personal lives from our professional lives. And I did what I felt I had to do. You were unresponsive. And it was about to become bad news for Bryce Remsburg when out of the crowd comes John Moxley. He's got a barbed wire baseball bat. He gets in the ring. Now, the whole premise here was Eddie Kingston had the right to name Moxley's opponent. He was going to choose Moxley's opponent on this show for an AEW title match. And Kingston says, look, I'm not the one you're facing. He goes, you're going to face the Butcher. There was no Blade this week. Butcher without Blade just doesn't feel right. But the Butcher, I love this shot of the Butcher just kind of, he came out. Moxley has his back turned. He doesn't see him. And just, he's this giant man. He is this giant man. He looks like something out of an old Western. He's got the Butcher, the apron bib. Yeah, that's the biggest fucking baby I've ever seen, if that's a bib. But there's the Butcher. And so the Butcher just got his very first ever AEW championship match. That was the main event here on the show. Moxley, who is 18-0 in singles matches here so far this year, he challenges the Booker. Yes, he challenged the Booker. It was John Moxley and Tony Khan here in this main event. So they explain, because, you know, I'm watching this, and they have a ranking system in this company. And I guess in a way, if you look at it, the people who are ranked, they're ranked. They've got their spots locked in, so they're going to get their shot at some point. But they tried to explain why this was happening, despite the ranking system, by saying Moxley put the challenge out. He wanted to face somebody, and so this was what Moxley wanted. This is what he agreed to. This is what he asked for. And they said that, you know, here we are getting a new face in the main event, which is true, right? We just got Jey Uso wrestling for the Universal Championship on pay-per-view, and now we're getting The Butcher in a world title main event here on TV. I like The Butcher. I like The Butcher. I mean, I like The Butcher and The Blade, but I like The Butcher. The Butcher, he looks like a pro wrestler. There are a lot of guys in wrestling who are on the smaller side, and people say, well, I can't take them seriously because they're so small, and I don't really subscribe to that theory. But I have to admit, when I think in my mind, as somebody especially who grew up a big fan in the 80s, when I think of, what do I picture when I think of a pro wrestler? There are certain wrestlers that pop up into my head. And it's not the smaller guys like a Darby Allin or I don't know. I mean, you can name any number of people. I mean, those guys will be the stars of the future. But I think of these big, larger-than-life guys. I think of guys that look exactly like The Butcher. You just lost Road Warrior Animal last week. I think of the Road Warriors. I think of somebody like Sid. You know, JBL was on Corey Graves' podcast. I saw a clip on YouTube, on Twitter, from Corey Graves' After the Bell podcast. And he obviously just had JBL on, and for whatever reason, the subject of Psycho Sid came up. And how come he doesn't really get talked about? And JBL said, he mentioned the whole softball thing. He goes, Road Warrior Animal, in fact, made the comment once when Sid had come back. He was away for a while, and he came back. He goes, yeah, Road Warrior Animal, we're in the dressing room one day. He goes, oh, softball season must be over. Here comes Sid, because Sid was such a gigantic softball fan. And apparently he was a good player. I don't know what position he played. I don't know. I have no idea. But he talked about how Sid was just this, he was this guy who had all this charisma. Maybe he wasn't the best, you know, in-ring tactician or anything. He didn't have to be. Psycho Sid, when I look at Psycho Sid, that's a fucking pro wrestler right there. He's tall. He looks imposing. He's charismatic. He just looked the part in every single way. If you were going to sculpt what a pro wrestler would look like, forget in-ring skills, right, for a second. If you were going to sculpt what would a pro wrestler look like, it might be somebody who wears face paint or something. I picture a guy like Sid. Those are the kind of guys I picture. And when I look at The Butcher, he just reminds me of that kind of bygone era. You don't have many guys that look like him. He's a very odd-looking guy. But that's probably why he stands out more, you know? And The Butcher is never going to be the world heavyweight champion. But it was kind of cool to see him, I guess, for one night at least, challenging for the title. So he's working over Moxley's leg. Got him in a single leg crab for a little while. They brawled outside. Butcher ran into the guardrail. Moxley hit a superplex to The Butcher. Coming out of it, though, after they landed, The Butcher, he kind of rolled through and he got Moxley in this very weak-ass-looking leg lock. It wasn't even really a leg lock. But he got him in this hold. Didn't really have a lot on it. Moxley made the ropes. Moxley hit a pile driver for a near fall. He put The Butcher then up on the top rope as if he was going to go up there and try to superplex him. He got knocked down, and The Butcher, who's a big dude, comes flying off with a crossbody. I mean, that's a lot of beef to be flying through the air like that. And he lands on Moxley for a near fall. Moxley ends up hitting the double arm DDT into the bulldog choke. So he's really trying to get that bulldog choke over, right? He used it on Brody Lee back at Double or Nothing. He used it on Eddie Kingston last week. Now he's using it this week. And The Butcher taps out. So John Moxley retains his title. Eddie Kingston is pitching a fit on the outside. And that's how they went off the air. So I thought on the whole it was a very good episode. A lot of solid wrestling. That tag team match was easily the best match on the entire show. Really good stuff there in that tag team match with SCU and FTR. It's too many acronyms. FTR, SCU, APA, NWO. Maybe that's what Retribution needs. They need some kind of acronym. I suggest the ASS. How about that? Next Wednesday, it's birthday week for the Sala Monster, by the way. But it's also the 30th anniversary celebration of Chris Jericho's career. It'll be Jericho and Jake Hager taking on Luther and Serpentico. We have Will Hobbs against Brian Cage. And this I like because, first of all, you got Will Hobbs getting a prime spot on Dynamite, but getting a title match. This is going to be the first defense of the FTW title. And you remember weeks ago I made the comment. I said, look, if they're going to have Brian Cage walking around with this FTW title, after a while, who gives a shit? Unless the guy defends it, what does it mean? It's just a prop over his shoulder. Well, now he's going to defend it. This is the first FTW title defense on TV. Will Hobbs, big spot for him, big spot for him. And Cody goes one-on-one, big main event next week with Brody Lee. That is the dog collar match for the TNT championship. And so I'm sure they'll add more matches. Usually they add more matches on social media, you know, as the week goes on, they'll add more matches usually there to the show. So I am certain that that will not be the only one. You guys are in the middle of voting as we speak. Voting is underway on Twitter and the Twitter polls here for the shows tonight. Dynamite, so far, about 80% thumbs up, 20% thumbs down. I think that's a better score than last week. And over on the NXT side, more of the same. More of the same that we see every single week. 62.6% thumbs up. 37.4% thumbs down. Again, you can go to @Solomonster. You see the handle right there with that ugly mug up there, @Solomonster. That is the handle if you would like to go and vote here on a very special day. Of course, it is the birthday of one. That is correct, indeed. Now, let me play some... that dog collar match next week. Dog collar matches, it's very similar to a strap match in that they can be very hard to do because you're limited in your movement. And actually, I think this would be worse because instead of being attached by your wrist, you're attached by your neck. And so you're going to be very limited in some of the things that you're able to do. So this could go a few different ways. Now, when Cody, a lot of the big Cody matches in AEW usually deliver, but the stipulation could backfire on them and it could actually end up kind of limiting what they're able to do. So I'm very curious to see how they work this match next week. They're going to be on TNT. They're not going to be on pay-per-view. What are they going to be allowed to get away with in terms of blood and some of the violence? There has to be blood. You can't have a dog collar match and not have blood. I'm sorry. His name is fucking Rhodes. You know he's going to bleed. Now, though, he doesn't have the blonde hair. See, when he had the blonde hair, kind of like Ric Flair, when he would bleed, it would bleed into his hair, and it was a great visual. Well, now he doesn't have that anymore, because now he's got the dark hair back. But I would be shocked if you have a Rhodes in a dog collar match and there's no blood. Well, then why even bother doing the dog collar match? So I would expect it to be a bloody affair next week, but what can and can't they get away with when it comes to TNT? That might be the bigger question. That might be the bigger question. You know who I'd like to ask that question to? You know who might actually have an answer to that question?
Henry Grimes!
Yeah, that's right. He might. If I can get a phone number for him, maybe we'll try to get our answer. Prince Walker, as we dive into some of your questions here before we move along. Again, Super Chats are open if you want to join Roll Call here. Good show tonight, and I called the butcher being picked. Food Hive, showing love to the chat, as I cannot be here tonight. He thought the show tonight was solid. Jackalope Music with the $5. Thank you, my friend. He's in that, man, he is in there with those emojis every single week. Jackalope is one of our big supporters. Jacob Donnelly, looks like your theory of Omega winning the title from Moxley is coming true, and rightfully so. Well, I hope so, because that's the way to go. It's that full circle story. Here we are, 1 year later. Even though technically that match last year didn't count towards the standings because it was non-sanctioned, but that was a Moxley win. He's had the title for a long time now. It feels like his time is coming to an end. And the other thing I like about that is you keep the story going with Omega and Hangman, and the natural guy to take the title from Omega is Hangman Page. And by the time that happens, maybe there'll be even more people allowed into the buildings, and that can really be a special moment when he finally wins the championship. Jared M. with the $25. Great show, FTR against SCU callback from the Jim Crockett promotion days. Naif Al-Safar with the $5. What's going on, Naif? Oz and Glorious. Happy birthday to all my fellow Libras. September 25th here. Well, happy birthday, Oz. Happy birthday to Oz and Glorious, who shares a birthday with...
Henry Grant!
That's right. Aren't you? Look at that. You guys got the same birthday. That's special. The True Heel Master sent $5 in. Brody Lee and Cody... Brawl is exactly how the 2020 debate should have ended after the end. Oofman Entertainment, someone wake up Billy Joe Armstrong. September has ended. Oh, you remember that too. We are heading into my favorite month of the year. You guys are going to see some... I'm already wearing orange. I couldn't wait. I was going to hold off for next week, but I got the orange. There's nothing on the shirt. It's just Tommy Hilfiger, but... I'm wearing the orange already. I'm ready. I'm ready for the month of October. Me and Minoru Suzuki there on the screen. We are ready for Halloween. The best holiday in the world. Although there's going to be a lot of very disappointed children who aren't able to go trick-or-treating this year. But then again, Halloween seems like the perfect holiday for the pandemic because everybody wears masks. So it's kind of perfect if you think about it. There's a certain genius behind it. Tenorio, are you a fan of the Hellraiser series? I am not. Hellraiser, what was the other one? Lawnmower Man. I never saw any of that stuff. Candyman I saw. I think I saw one of the Candyman movies, but I was not really a big fan. Leo Flores with the $10. Great show tonight. Have you noticed the women's division slowly improving week to week? I've noticed improvements. I don't know that I saw any kind of big improvement this week. I mean, what was the big improvement that we saw this week? We saw Britt Baker back in the ring. Red Velvet has some talent, but yeah, it was basically a kind of a glorified squash. But I have noticed some improvements, usually when Thunder Rosa is around. We didn't get any of them this week. There was no Diamante, no Ivelisse, no Thunder Rosa, no Hikaru Shida. They were all missing in action tonight, and I don't know if that was just rotating people out, or if that had something to do with this whole outbreak, I don't know, but they were not on the show tonight. Tomas BR, shout out to Bryce Remsburg, cutting a pretty decent natural promo. Oz and Glorious again, Nick was not there last week, and this week was taped. All right, well, but I think he was missing 2 weeks ago as well. Whatever week it was where they kicked Alex Marvez in the face, we didn't see Nick then either. We only saw Matt. Ryan Spies, Scorpio and Spears was set up on Late Night Dynamite. I did see that, actually. I actually did see that. It tells you what I think of that storyline. The True Heel Master. MJF would be a better fit with the FTR faction instead of the Inner Circle. Well, the problem is right now there is no FTR faction. There's FTR and there's Tully, but they haven't actually formed a faction yet. So until that happens, there is no faction. The 1200 Films podcast. I like Solid Monster better with the white man's afro. Now the afro's gone, man. And it ain't never coming back. I go back now and I watch some of those videos from a few months ago and I want to die. Like, my God. You'll see when I put together the compilation video. I'm doing like a little compilation thing of clips. And I'll probably play it at like the year end, probably, like, I don't know, year, beginning of the year or the end of this year. But I'm going through old clips and I'm like, holy shit. You look at my hair then compared to now. I look like a child. Amari Johnson, weekly donation to the channel. Who is doing better at building, not inheriting, future big name stars in wrestling? AEW or NXT? Well, I mean, AEW is giving a lot of opportunities to independent talents that they're not necessarily signing right away. That makes them more attractive. If they can come in and maybe work a few matches or have the freedom to come and work in AEW and then do some independent stuff, which I don't believe they should be doing right now. And I think it's insane with the news that came out last week and everything going on that, you know, AEW doesn't say to some of these guys, now, look, no more outside shit until we get this stuff. We know everything is under control. It's too risky. But that is what makes them so attractive. So I might give the edge to AEW in terms of they have a lot of talent. They just don't have the time to put them all on TV. And NXT, they stockpiled a lot of talent as well. But AEW has a very impressive roster that they've put together. We have a super chat here. I bet money the South Park Pandemic special beats both AEW and NXT in the ratings tonight. Yeah, my brother was telling me that South Park is back, and I'm shocked that after all these years, South Park is still as big as it is. But then again, I guess The Simpsons are still on the air, so. Then again, I think I'm still on the air. I'm here 13 years. I'm not here as long as The Simpsons have been here. 13 years is a long time. You're not going to find very many other podcasters that have been doing what I'm doing for 13 years. You'll find a few, but there aren't very many of them. Turbo. Turbo with the $15. Let's see here. Just wondering why you harp on WWE all the time for 50-50 booking, yet you want Omega to beat Moxley and Darby to beat Cody to get their win back. Well, you see, your mistake, you're conflating the two things. 50-50 booking, when I think of WWE-style 50-50 booking, WWE does not always do long-term booking and long-term storytelling very well. So what they'll do is they'll have a match on TV one week where one guy wins, and then the next week or the next pay-per-view, the other guy wins. And then in the end, really nobody gets over, right? But they'll do that with like not necessarily just the established guys. But it's very quick. One guy wins, the other guy wins. One guy wins, the other guy wins. What you're referring to here, you're literally talking about Moxley and Omega. This has been a year in the making. That's not called 50-50 booking in the way that I think of 50-50 booking when you've got a match from one week and then 2 weeks later, the other guy wins. That's very different. The Darby-Cody thing, that's just a natural story. How are you going to call that 50-50? Darby Allin has yet to beat Cody Rhodes. So I'd like for you to explain to me what exactly is 50-50 about what we've seen so far with Darby and Cody. Cody, they went to one draw, but in all their other matches, they've had two or three other matches. Cody, I believe, has beaten him every single time. That's not called 50-50. That's pretty fucking dominant right there. So I'm not exactly sure where the 50-50 is coming into play with Cody and Darby. That's called good storytelling. That's what that is. And eventually, whenever that might be, and it doesn't even look like it's going to be this year, it may never happen. They could always come back to it next year. But at some point, Darby is going to have to get that win, and it's going to be a big moment. I was hoping he'd be the one to take the TNT title from Cody. If Cody doesn't get the belt back, that might not happen that way. I might give you a flyer on the Omega Moxley thing, but please explain to me what is 50-50 about Darby Allin finally winning one match against Cody Rhodes when he's lost every single fucking match except one that they drew that they've had together. That is just a beyond absurd comment. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I don't think you have any idea what you're talking about on that either. No offense. So, anyway. He says, also, I think Orton involved with Retribution cost Drew the belt at Hell in a Cell. What are my thoughts? And again, I'm not picking on Turbo here. I love Turbo. But I just don't understand what you're talking about when it comes to Darby and Cody. That just doesn't make any sense. I don't think Orton has anything to do with Retribution. I mean, I just don't see it. I don't see that as being a really sensible fit. And frankly, I just would like for Drew to just get that win, that final win, and just move on to whoever the next challenger is going to be. So, Khalid Adam with the $2. I think AEW should sign Ember Moon. Well, Ember Moon is still under contract to WWE. So that's going to be awfully hard, I think, for them to... I think it's going to be awfully hard to do that. And I don't know what her status is injury-wise. I still think there's a chance Ember Moon could be that returning NXT champion that they're promoting for TakeOver on Sunday. You know, I said that Bobby Roode is one option. And I don't know that I really feel that way anymore, given that we had him already come back on Raw. It wasn't Bobby Roode. It was Bo Dallas. I think it's Bo Dallas. But if it wasn't Bo Dallas, it could be Ember Moon. Remember, they never said if it was a male or a female. They only teased that it's a former NXT champion coming back to the brand. So we'll find out on Sunday. I'm going to be back with you guys again on Sunday live when TakeOver is over, right back here. That'll be the first stream, I guess, for the month of October, right here on the YouTube channel. So hopefully you guys will join me then, including Turbo. Turbo is welcome to join as well. The True Heel Master. There's going to be a lot of dominatrix in the dog collar match between Cody and Mr. Brody Lee. Well, I don't know where you're going with that one, but all right. I made that comment about Evil Uno when I first saw what Evil Uno was wearing to the ring. I wasn't really thinking dominatrix when it came to the dog collar match. You're talking about a very different match. That's a match I have no interest in seeing. See, that's a match that would have been more appropriate for Late Night Dynamite. Spanish Goddish. I've seen him on Twitter recently. Spanish Goddish, what's going on? Thank you for the five plus two. I see he sent two super chats in. Do you think someone like Sean O'Hare would have fit in AEW if he was still around? Also, thank you for having one of the best wrestling podcasts. Well, thank you for tuning in every single week. You are one of the loyal ones who I see in the chat every single week. You're dropping super chats. Sean O'Hare is a guy who, when you really read up about him, clearly he was a very troubled person and was not really always a very nice person. He got in a lot of fights and he didn't get along with everybody. I don't know what kind of issues he was having, but he had talent. There was no doubt about that. There was talent there, and that talent was never realized, and he died at a very young age. Would he have fit in with AEW? Probably. I mean, he would have fit in WWE as well. You know, I was kind of interested in that character. That devil character that he was portraying on TV. But again, he had his issues and, you know, he cut his own life short, unfortunately. Magician Sapphire with the 10 bucks. Loved this show a lot. Loved that it had a fair amount of technical wrestling on the show. Yeah, that tag team match being the highlight of the night. Tomaz, again, I think Eddie's main event experiment has ended for the foreseeable future with the Archer program coming. Eddie Kingston, I guess he's talking about. Coming to an end now with the Archer program, he says. And then the tournament for the belt. Do you think that we will go back to the bunny deal? Well, something is going on with the Blade and the Bunny, right? Eddie Kingston said you got to get your house in order. So I don't know that she's going to be the Bunny necessarily, but it sounds like she might end up in that group at some point in the not too distant future. And Marcus Metcalf, and then I think we're caught up on these. Britt Baker needs the AEW Women's Championship. She has been the star. She has star potential. Also, would it have been Brett versus Austin at WrestleMania 14 in a rematch? Britt Baker, I think that's got to be what they're building to. It shouldn't be Nyla Rose or Penelope Ford or anybody else. Britt Baker is back. She's healthy. She's probably the most entertaining thing in the women's division. I think it's only a matter of time. She'll hold the championship. It's just a matter of when. You say the same thing about Cody. Cody's going to be the AEW champion one day. But he doesn't have to be right now. So it could be next year. It could be the year after. He's not going anywhere. He's pretty well embedded in that company. Britt Baker is one of those stars they earmarked from day one in AEW. When they were going around doing media tours and all that, she was front and center. Her and Nyla. They were the stars of the women's division that they put front and center in all their media. So that kind of gives you a sense of how highly they think of her. And Vibes by Luxury with the $10. Have you seen Mark Jindrak teasing an appearance on AEW? I have not. No. I've seen Mil Muertes practically, he was practically begging for people to tweet for him or start some kind of social media campaign to get him on Dynamite back when Cody was still doing the Open Challenge. And I think that would have been pretty badass. You know, get him and Katrina back together. Even if they have to use different names, get them back together and put them in AEW. See, that's an act that I think would work. I am a little biased in that, but I very much enjoyed their act together. You know, when they were doing their thing on Lucha Underground, which I do miss. I do miss Lucha Underground, I'm not going to lie. So why don't we take some of your feedback. Now, the way we're going to do this, because there's a lot of people who try calling in who don't really have a chance to get through because sometimes people get a little long-winded in their calls, and they get a little long-winded in what they want to talk about. So I'll take a few calls here. If you could just get right to whatever the question or comment is, and we're going to try to speed things along as quickly as we can so we can get a whole bunch in, and then we're going to get the hell out of here. How does that sound? And then if any more Super Chats come in, I'm here, guys. You have any Super Chat questions? You have any Super Chat messages? I will make sure that I read them. We got one here from Prince Walker. I was thinking that New Japan AEW definitely need to come together because imagine AEW being a part of the tag league because New Japan has zero tag teams. Well, imagine some of the AEW talent in the G1. Kenny Omega back in the G1. Right? Darby Allin in the G1. That'd be an interesting fit, right? There's always the potential for synergy there, but the two companies have to want to work together. Of course, right now, though, with the pandemic and travel restrictions, it's not really possible. But I've been saying that, dude, I've been saying that for a year. These two companies need to come together. They need to come together. And New Japan has more to gain from it because New Japan has no real television home. They have no real TV foothold anymore here in this country. So imagine, you know, being able to get... Look at the exposure that someone like Thunder Rosa has gotten from the NWA. She's already been on Dynamite a whole bunch of times. She's defended her championship on Dynamite. So it's not like this is a company that's closed off to the idea of working together with other companies. But, you know, there may have been some bad blood there. There could be some underlying issues. Well, you know what? Work through it. The fans demand it. Work through those underlying issues so we can get some synergy going on between these two promotions. Because I said so. Because it's what I want to see. Damn it. And apparently Prince wants to see it as well. Stand by, guys. I'm going to mute myself. I'll be right here on camera. We'll play some music. We'll take some calls. You are listening to the Solid Monster Sounds Off here on International Podcast Day. I was tagged all day long in these tweets. It really is very cool because you don't realize sometimes you just kind of forget how many people listen to wrestling podcasts, how many people listen to this podcast. I was tagged by so many people. I was tagged by other shows. Shout out, by the way, to OSW Review. Those guys are awesome. I was interacting with them a little bit on Twitter. And, you know, just hashtag after hashtag, tweet after tweet, people saying, oh, what podcast would you recommend? And then, boom, there's the Sound Off. And you can kind of forget, it's easy to forget sometimes how widespread all of this really is, all over the world. It's very cool. I really appreciate when you guys do that, man, it means the world to me. I got to tell you. Domination Warrior with the $5 super chat. I miss Lucha Underground and I miss NWA Power, he says. Let's see. What else does he say here? Retribution sucks. Even Rainbow Express is better. Buy or sell? Matanza versus Brock or Mil Muertes against Suzuki? Matanza, you know, Jeff Cobb and Brock Lesnar would have been great. Mil Muertes and Brock Lesnar would have been great. Brock Lesnar and Minoru Suzuki. How about that? How about Brock and Minoru? Yeah, you see? That's this. I just told you right then. And Brock Lesnar's a free agent. So if Brock Lesnar wanted to, Brock Lesnar wanted a big payday and wanted to go to Japan and New Japan was willing to pay him. How about Brock Lesnar in the G1 against Toru Yano? Do you think that Brock would be Yano'd? Would he agree? I guess if you paid him enough money, he would do whatever you want him to do. I think that would be the greatest, just to see his reaction. Just to see the look on Brock's face when he realizes he's about to be counted out. He's been outsmarted, and he's about to be counted out against Toru Yano. And they get like a close-up of, oh, how fantastic would that be? I know some people don't like Yano, and it would drive him nuts, but I think that would be fucking hilarious. Now we got to make that happen one day. Hey, Yukio Rules with the $30, man. Thank you, Yukio Rules. Look at that. Look at the super chat. Woo! That's the AEW and the NXT fence. Woo! The slap fight. That's what a fight between them would look like right there. Woo! It's nice to be able to be home and enjoy your live AEW stream. Keep up the great work. Thank you for the $30. That is very cool. That's a very, very lucrative super chat there from Yukio Rules. So let's take a some of these live callers here. We'll start with 901. What is your question? What did you think about the show tonight?
Hey, Saul Monster, I pretty much enjoyed pretty much everything. I liked the main event with Moxley and Eddie Kingston. I thought that, well, not Eddie Kingston, the Butcher, but with Eddie Kingston at ringside, though. But I have a question for you concerning AEW in general. What do you think could be the biggest match they could promote right now that would generate a lot of fan interest, a lot of interest within the wrestling business? What do you think would be the biggest match you think they could have right now?
AEW, you talk about like mainstream interest, probably the match that they've been trying to put together, which is Chris Jericho against Mike Tyson. I don't think it would be a very good match, but if you're looking for a match that would get people's attention, I mean, that's probably the biggest one that you could do, in all honesty.
I probably would agree with that one too, but I just don't know if they're able to get Tyson in. I mean,
well, they're not
I don't know what the deal is with Tyson.
They're not going to get Tyson in before November because he's got a fight coming up. I mean, there was supposed to be a fight. What's today? The 30th? I think 2 days ago. I think this week was supposed to be him and Roy Jones Jr. in some kind of exhibition fight. I don't think they gave a reason why it got pushed back. It got delayed until November. So, look, if he wanted to do something, AEW is absolutely open to it, but he ain't going to do shit before that fight. So you're looking at probably the very end of the year, early next year at that point. I don't think Tyson's coming. I think that ship has sailed. As far as wrestling fans go, what would be the biggest match that Well, I mean, I think Omega and Hangman, I guess, although you'd have to be following the storyline to really know. So if you're an NXT fan or a WWE fan, and you don't really follow AEW too closely, I'm trying to think for those people, what match might get them to actually watch AEW? I don't know. I don't know that there is that one match that would get those people to watch. So I think Hangman and Omega, just because it's clearly been teased and their relationship now, it's been building and building and building for so long. Maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the match. Yeah.
I'll probably go with that too. My guess would be as well, Moxley and Omega. There's a second match with them for the world title. I think that will probably get a lot of people, you know, probably get a little buzz within the company, depending upon how they go with Kenny Omega too.
Yeah.
If they really, really, you know, if he really goes back to that New Japan Kenny Omega.
Well, we'll see. It looks like we're headed in that direction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Cool. Yeah, Jericho and Tyson, I mean, look, it's not a match I'm clamoring for. I really don't care to see it, frankly. But if they wanted to get some mainstream eyeballs on it, and Jericho, I'm sure they'll work some kind of spot where he gets knocked out and they play it up for comedy and stuff. The thing that really turned me off last time, though, when they did that whole pull apart, it felt like the problem with that is if you're going to do the same angle, if you're going to repeat the same angle from 20 years ago, you got to make sure that you're doing it at least as good or better, because otherwise, what is the point of redoing an angle that is so iconic, right? That first pull apart with Tyson and Austin. If you can't do it better than Tyson and Austin did, then you shouldn't be doing it at all. And people were laughing. And then the stuff with Henry Cejudo in the back when he put video up online showing everybody palling around, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why would you do something like that? because he's not a wrestler. He's not in the wrestling business. He doesn't get it. To him, it's all just a TV show. But you can't be doing shit like that. That was a such a stupid thing for him to do. And it just kind of soured me on the whole thing. So I don't really have much of an interest in seeing it. If I did, then that interest has gone away. It ain't there no more. Hey, Naya, thank you, man, for the $3. Very much appreciate that. Let's go to 516.
Jason.
Jared, what's going on?
What's up?
So what did you think of the show tonight?
Good show tonight. I'll make it quick. I like where they're going with the MJF Inner Circle thing, especially with Sammy. I thought the FTR versus SCU match was fantastic. Calling back to JCP and Rock and Roll Express when Dylan helped Tully hold Ricky Morton's feet down to, I know you said mention the Warrior from 89.
Well, but you got to remember, I'm a WWE. I grew up mainly WWE. My frame of reference is to immediately think, okay, Bobby Heenan, WrestleMania. In your case, it makes sense that you would think of Crockett.
Are you saying I'm older than you, Jason? No, I'm kidding.
I'm saying that you're more, you're wise beyond your years, is what I'm saying.
Oh, don't come, please. You're the wisest guy I know. Come on, give me a
place. I am a wise ass. That is true.
No, you're the wisest man I know. So when
well, you don't know too many people, but go ahead.
All right, no, I don't know many people. I don't know what you think, Jason, but I want to see Kenny Omega heel versus Jon Moxley face. I don't know what type of match. Also, very quickly, I think Eddie Kingston has a world champion written all over him. Eventually,
world champion.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't see that.
Guy can talk.
He can talk, but that doesn't mean he has to be the world champion, though. See, I think AEW, and this is, I like this. If this is their mindset, this is what I like. Yeah, they'll have a Jericho as champion. They'll have a Moxley, but they're building their young core of guys. Eddie Kingston could be valuable in so many different ways. I don't think he needs to be the world champion. He really doesn't.
I just think he's so talented in every facet that, you know, he brings heat. He could talk.
But that's why he's great at the manager's role. He can talk for so many different people who can't talk as well as he does.
That is true. That is true.
Instead of just selling his match, he can sell 5 different matches if he's got enough people in his faction. That's where he becomes valuable.
That's why I don't understand why WWE never ever took a chance on this guy. I have no idea. For 18 years, this guy just lingered around the indies while an Impact and NWA. But
I think we can look back on it now and be thankful that WWE didn't grab him, because if they did, he'd be on Main Event right now. Probably, first of all, they wouldn't put a microphone in his hand, most likely. Or if they did, God only knows the verbiage. I mean, I think he's talented enough where he would make it his own. He would do the best he could with it. But can you imagine some of the shit that he would have to say? Oh, I don't even want to think about it. So he just does not seem like a good fit for that company.
All right, Jason, one last question. I know you want to be quick. Do you still think Arn is going with Tully and the FDR?
I don't know what Arn is doing. We haven't seen Arn on TV. Cody will have his first match back next week. I expect Arn to be there unless they're phasing him out. I think there's still something going on there. I think that still might happen.
You still think there could be a faction there?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right, cool, man. All right, I know you got to go. Have a good show, and thanks for taking my call, dude.
Thanks, Jared. Have yourself a good week. We hear from Jared every single week. Jared, longtime fan of going back, as you heard there, going back to the JCP days. All right, we have a lot of fans in here who have been watching wrestling for a year. We have people tuned in who have been watching wrestling for 40 years. Pretty much runs the gamut. All different kinds of wrestling. Going back many, many, many years. Let us go to 213.
Good evening, Saul Monster. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Luis. How are you?
Good. So, I was watching AEW tonight, and I thought John Moxley was facing Jake the Snake Roberts for some reason. And I said to myself, what the hell is Jake the Snake Roberts doing wrestling John Moxley? He's old already.
I don't think Jake the Snake ever had the kind of physique that the Butcher has. I'm not sure how you can mistake one for the other. Maybe the mustache?
That is exactly what was going on in my mind. But then I said, no, this is not Jake the Snake Roberts, and this guy is doing the stretch muscler completely wrong.
Yeah, they were calling it the... I don't know if he was going for that or if they just were referring to it. That was not a stretch muffler. That definitely was not a stretch muffler.
So my question is, has there been any time during your tenure as a professional wrestling fan where that has happened?
Where
a certain wrestler... that you know from your childhood is wrestling somebody, but it's not that person.
I don't think I've ever been drunk enough to make that mistake. No, I can't say that I can't say that that's the case. It's never happened to me before.
Let me tell you this. I don't drink, but that fucking happened to me today.
Well, maybe you need some sleep. How much sleep did you get last night? How many hours of sleep are you getting each night?
7.
7 hours? Well, then you shouldn't have any issues. You just got to pay closer attention. There's no way that you could look at the Butcher as big as he. The Butcher's like 300 pounds, this guy. Jake the Snake. Now, there was a point when Jake was really, his health was really very poor. And before DDP got to him, where he was pushing well over 300. But Jake hasn't looked that heavy in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I'm glad.
All right, I'm going to let you go so you can take some calls.
All right, awesome. I'm glad. Thank you, Luis. I'm glad Luis actually watched the show tonight. He doesn't always have a chance to watch Dynamite, but always good to get his very unique insights. I can't say that's ever happened to me before, where I've put on Monday Night Raw or something and... You know, I saw a main event of Drew McIntyre against Aleister Black, and I looked at Aleister Black, and I thought that it was King Kong Bundy or something. I can't say that that's ever happened to me before. The True Heel Master, it would be great to see Brock Lesnar back in New Japan to join Suzuki Goon. Minoru Suzuki and Brock Lesnar would be an odd but interesting pairing. Brock works alone, though, right? Brock in a tag team, I don't think Brock's really been doing the tag team thing since his dark match days where they had him teaming with Ron Waterman. Remember Ron H2O Waterman? Brock Lesnar is a lone wolf. Brock Lesnar should not be in a tag team. I would rather see him and Suzuki one-on-one, not necessarily teaming up. Let's go to 631.
Hey, Salamanca, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, you were talking earlier about a partnership between New Japan and AEW. And with the news that just came out, I think it came out yesterday or 2 days ago, that Harold Mage is stepping down from New Japan. And the guy who's running New Japan of America is going to step up in his place as, like, I think there's the president or the chair. Can you see maybe a different type of approach? Maybe he has a different approach to working with AEW that Harold Mage didn't. Because I know he was in charge when Kenny and the Bucks and all those guys left. So
do you remember the guy's name? I don't have it. The New Japan America head. What his name?
I don't, but I know he's Japanese. So
okay. Well, the problem
that's
is
all I know.
I'm not familiar with him, so I don't know what his philosophy is. It could just be a case of New Japan is profitable, so let's just continue on with what we're doing. I would be very worried if he came in and wanted to just start making wholesale changes. The problem in a situation like that, though, is when you have either a company that takes over, or like when Sinclair, for example, bought Ring of Honor, or a person even. When they come in, they want to put their stamp on things. That was one of the fears when the news first broke a few months ago about the guy at TNT and Warner, who helped get the AEW deal. When he got shit canned, everybody panicked because it's like, well, what's going to happen now? When somebody comes in, they want to make changes just because, you know, this is what this guy did, or he put his people in, so now I'm going to come in and make my own changes. But I would hope they don't make much in the way of any significant changes, because I think New Japan seems to be doing well and actually making a profit.
Well, yeah, I agree. The one thing I do am optimistic about is that with the New Japan Strong show, it's on Fridays after SmackDown. It's actually not too bad.
I've heard about it. Yeah, they're trying to build up. Was it Carl Fredericks? I think is one of the main stars there.
Yeah, because he couldn't go on Excursion from being a young lion.
Right.
So they just basically let him go over there. But they've been showcasing a lot of indie talent from that they're still working around the indies, but they've been giving a lot of people a lot of platforms. Like even before, like some of the guys in the G1, like Jay White and Cobb, they had them wrestle over there until before they went over to the G1. So I'm kind of optimistic of what kind of the approach is over there. Cause I know Rocky Romero, mm-hmm, is now working in the office in New Japan.
Yes.
And so I could see him trying to help out over there, because I know he's friends with a lot of guys from AEW. So it's going to be very interesting. And I just got one more question. And just for presides to all types of wrestling, but it was an interesting stat during the Ishii Suzuki match in the first night of the G1, where, I mean, these two guys are brawlers, or like they're trying to kill each other out there basically, because it's Ishii and Suzuki. But there was an interesting stat where it said there was no pin attempts in the match whatsoever, except for the final pin attempt, and that's the pin that won the match. So my question is, in wrestling, would you like to see more of like like style matches where these guys are trying to kill each other and knock each other out instead of trying to attempt a pin, or less pin attempts?
No.
Because if I'm watching WWE, there's like fucking 16 roll-ups.
Well, you got that, though. You got that in WWE. It's called Raw Underground.
Sounds like that would be right up your alley if
that's the kind of wrestling you're looking for. It sounds like that would be right up your alley.
I don't know about all that, because I mean, I like not having a seizure or a stroke when I'm watching my wrestling matches.
Well, that's true.
I mean, if anybody can get away with it, it's like Ishii and Suzuki. So I think it's like a specialty for them, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to let you go. But for them, if that became like the norm or something, that would just be weird. Because at the end of the day, the whole point of a wrestling match is you want to win the match. You want to win the fucking match. And in order to win the match, you got to go for a pin, or you got to apply a submission. If it's a grudge match, if it's a battle between two guys that's been built up for a long time, and these guys just want to kill each other, then that makes sense, because you don't want to just hit your finisher and win the match. You want to hurt the other person. That should only be reserved as a big payoff, like a grudge match. Ishii and Suzuki, you can excuse that, because it's Ishii and Suzuki, and that's what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to go in there. They're going to want to chop each other. They're going to want to slap each other. They're going to want to forearm each other and just generally beat the crap out of each other. But I think that sort of wrestling ought to be reserved for very specific situations where it's paying off a big feud, a blood feud. I hate your guts. I want to kill you. I want to hurt you. I want to make you suffer. It's not about beating you. It's not about winning the championship. I want to make you pay. That's what matches like that, where you don't go for the pin, maybe until the end, I'd save it for that. That's not really the style of wrestling I want to see on an every week basis. You know, if I wanted to watch some, and as far as what you were describing is almost like MMA-like, if I wanted to watch MMA, I'd watch fucking MMA. I don't want pro wrestling to become MMA. I think there's elements of MMA that can be incorporated into wrestling, especially the way they build up their big fights. That, I think, would be very beneficial to the wrestling product. Now, Darlene, I want to go back here, because Darlene made a good comment that I was not aware of, actually, in the chat, if I could just find it here. She mentioned a report, here we go, a report from Fightful.com, which is a great source of information, so always check out Fightful if you want accurate news, and not some of these smaller sites. I go to Fightful. SE Scoops is a great site as well. That's where the Sound Off was born, SEScoops.com, 13 years ago. But she says, Fightful reported that some NJPW talent were a little upset that Harold Mage did not seek partnerships with other companies too actively. And that could go to what I was just talking about. Does that include AEW? Hey, you know, maybe someone new being in there, if they have a different philosophy on that, that could be a good thing. Maybe this change could expedite discussions between AEW and New Japan. Who knows? Who knows? But you always got to worry when somebody new comes in, because it's just a wild card situation. You don't know what kind of changes they're going to make. And if you're a fan of New Japan, you don't want somebody coming in and making changes. If you hate WWE and you want to see it get better, and you found out one day that Vince McMahon was stepping down and somebody was stepping in, you'd throw a fucking party. And that doesn't mean the new person is going to do a better job. They may suck even more. But you would at least be like, all right, thank God we're getting some new blood in there. We're getting somebody with new ideas, fresh ideas, maybe somebody who's more open to other ideas. But if it's a product that you like if I found out in the middle of the Lucha Underground seasons that the head writer and the executive director were being replaced with other people who aren't even big wrestling fans, I'd worry that, shit, that's the beginning of the end. So there's always that wild card. There's always that fear when a new person comes in. The True Heel Master thought that the earlier caller was passing gas. That was not passing gas. If he was passing gas, then he must have had about 15 burritos from Taco Bell with the noise that was coming out of that phone. I would not want to be in that apartment if that was the case. Magician Sapphire, watching recent episodes of Monday Night Raw reminds me of the intro to Sound Off 638. Well, you got to remind me, I don't remember what the intro to Sound Off 638 was, and I recorded the show. I've done so many episodes, I've done over 670 episodes. That doesn't even count all the YouTube stuff. When you add up all the different podcasts that I've done, all the old SE Scoops live shows I used to do on Monday nights, I've probably done close to, if not over, 1,000 different shows, so you're going to have to refresh my memory. Brandon Mobley, Brandon from Iowa Park, first-time supporter, been listening since 2009. I enjoyed tonight's episode, keep up the good work, and thank you. So Brandon has been with me since, not the very beginning, but pretty damn close. Pretty damn close. Thank you, Brandon. That is very cool. All right, I'm going to give Canada one more shot. He's called back. It looks like it's the same number, so I'm a little worried here. But, hey, you know what? Sometimes third time's the charm, right? 226.
Solid Monster.
Oh, my goodness. Finally, I can hear your voice.
I'm on a landline now. I do apologize. I don't know what's up with
my look, phone. Landline, the trusty landline. See, and I just got rid of my landline because I wasn't going to pay $20 a month. But landlines are always very reliable, so you can't go wrong with a landline phone.
It is also Steve Mello here. Colin, yeah. So I'm the fart guy, apparently, now.
You are the fart guy. How are those burritos tonight? Not too good,
it's
huh?
Pretty good, man.
No, it doesn't sound like it was very good. Didn't sound like that before.
No, I just wanted to call and say, you know, you're always doing great work. Good job. And a quick AEW question. I haven't watched it yet, but Mil Muertes and Katrina, what are your thoughts of them showing up on AEW?
Well, it's funny. I literally just mentioned them like 5 minutes ago. Somebody asked a question about bringing people in. I think they were, who are they asking about? I already forgot who they were asking about, but
I apologize, man. I'm just tuning in, so.
No, that's fine, but I would love it. Even if they can't use those names, I know what it was, because Mil Muertes was on social media. He was trying to advocate, you know, for people to put his name out there for Cody's TNT Open Challenge, and they didn't go with him, but I would love to see it. Any excuse to get Katrina back on TV is okay with me. As I'm sure you're well aware.
agree 100%, man. I'll let you get to some other callers. I just wanted to get a quick call in, say keep up the great work, and yeah, sorry about before again.
Well,
and yeah, man, just keep it up.
Well, no, I did mention, well, you probably joined late, so you didn't hear it, but I did mention about your big day. So
yes,
didn't mention
the
about
big 3-7.
I did mention the
my oldest made me.
I did mention
my
that.
My oldest made me feel nice and old about that, for sure.
Well, that's what kids are for, though. The whole point of kids is when you look at them, you realize, holy shit, I'm old. I mean, that's kind of what they're there for, I think.
Yeah, he asked how old I was, and I'm like, 37. He's like, oh, man, that's old. I'm like, great, thanks, buddy.
But I want people, I do want people, and I had no idea that that was your number, by the way. So now it's like, it's even funnier to me that I hung up on you two times. But I want everybody in the chat to understand... I want them to understand that the artwork that you're seeing on your screen right now and the thumbnails and everything that you see, the guy who's responsible for it is the fart guy on the phone right now. So, and it just so happens to be his birthday today. So I want everybody in the chat to, well, you can't sing it, but you could type happy birthday. You could type in happy birthday to Steve. So hopefully the rest of your day went well.
Yeah, no, man, it was a great day. Just my way of supporting the show. Anything I can do, appreciate it. And I'll let you get to some other callers, man. You have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care.
Yeah.
See, that's funny. And I was just talking about Steve at the beginning. I'm giving him the big birthday shout-out, and then he's the Canadian caller who I hung up on. I mean, look, landlines, sometimes that's the only way to go. When you do interviews with people, and I've done interviews before. I haven't done an interview in a while, actually, but I've done a whole bunch of interviews, and I tell the wrestler, whoever it is, I'm like, if you can use a landline phone, use a landline phone, because sometimes people's cell phones sound fine and sometimes they sound like garbage. And if you're going to do a 60 minute or a 90 minute interview with somebody, audio quality is kind of a big deal. But a lot of people don't have landlines anymore. I mean, why pay for a landline? I mean, I guess maybe in the event of an emergency, but why pay for a landline if prices seem to be going up? That's why I got rid of mine. You know, I didn't want to get rid of that number. I've had that number for 20 years, probably. But they jacked the price of the landline up 20 bucks. Optimum. Yeah. My cable company that I said, fuck you to, and I ditched a couple of months ago. Yeah. They jacked the price of the landline up. You could take your landline and stick it up your ass. That's what I should have said to them. But that wouldn't have been very nice, now would it? Magician Sapphire said that that episode of The Sound Off opened with the song... Oh, yes, the song that doesn't end. That was Lamb Chop. This is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend. That was about the Baron Corbin-Roman Reigns feud. Says a WWE storyline that would not end like what we have been suffering through with Raw. Yeah, you can use that. That could be the new theme song to Monday Night Raw. Absolutely. This is the show that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend. Solid Monster sings the greatest hits. Let's do a couple more and get the hell out of here. 702, what's your question?
Hey, Solid Monster, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, with Harold May leaving, I think he was, I think they said, like, he's actually supposed to leave, like, sometime in October, like, mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're going to end up doing with the U.S. title, the Moxley F? Are they gonna like, maybe showcase it in one of the New Japan Strong shows, and maybe you put it on in one of the new guys from over there, like Cedric, for example. But because I don't think he's gonna be able to make it to like the Tokyo Dome if the Tokyo Dome is happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I mean, Moxley is not going to the Tokyo Dome, and so that's just not gonna happen. I don't know. It's a real problem because I'm sure he wants to defend it. I'm sure he wants to drop it. It seems like every time he wins that title, there's some kind of issue. They have to like take it away from him, but. I think it may be a situation, honestly, where they have to just strip him of the belt. I don't know if he would even be allowed to wrestle for New Japan here in the States. I think contractually, I think they're fine with him doing certain shows there. But when it comes to here in this country, they may not allow that. So I think in the end, honestly, he might just have to give that belt up. That's probably going to be the end result.
That's pretty sucky, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
it sucks.
I can totally see the title moving to one of those guys from the Strong Show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And just hopefully at some point when things get a little bit better, if they wanted to have Moxley back, I'm sure he'd love to go back. I don't think he needs a title, though. I mean, you can still bring him in, and he can do some big matches against some of the guys there. I don't even think he needs a championship.
Yeah. So who was your pick for the G1? And I'm leaving.
Okada. Okada was my pick. I had as the dark horse. Everybody has to have a dark horse, like a backup. Maybe like a wild card pick. Sonata was my wild card. I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with Okada to win. Sonata is my wild card. Unlike Dry Chicken. I haven't heard from him tonight, I don't think. Where's he at? Love Dry Chicken without flavor, but when he sent that super chat in a few weeks ago, and he was like, his favorites in the G1, he named like six people. I go, well, dude, you can't name everybody in the tournament. There are like six picks to win and four wild card. I mean, I can name everybody too. Come on, now. You got to narrow it down. So, Okada, Sonata, final answer. We'll see if I'm right. I've already pulled the clip if I am right, by the way. I pulled the clip when I first mentioned my picks. Not that I have a big head or anything. But that clip is ready to go if Okada does in fact win the G1. And 346, what's your question? Three, four, six. I hear a TV. I want to hear your voice, though. I can't hear you. Well, I guess we're not going to hear from 346. So let's move on. Let's move on to, my goodness, 401. What's your question?
Hi, Jason. Thanks for taking my call.
It's Dick Tickles, everybody. I know that voice anywhere.
Speaking of bad call quality, I know my microphone on my phone sucks, so I apologize in advance.
Well, you'll have to just ask your question quickly then, that's all.
Yes. Well, a lot of references to Lucha Underground tonight by you and in the chat, mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about Lucha Underground as well tonight because I saw that opening match with Ricky Starks and Darby Allin, and I thought, man, this is a really damn good match, but I wish that they were fighting over something instead of just fighting each other.
They don't
so
need
that
to be,
led me to...
Well, wait, hold on, though. It's not as if it was just a random... And if it was random, that would have been fine, too. It's two of the young guys in the company, Locke and Horry. You want to remind... Somebody tweeted, I wish I remember who it was, and I agree with this. It had vibes to me of, like, Rock Triple H in that... Rock, Triple H, both came up in WWE, young guys at the same time. They were vying, right, for the top spot. They ended up feuding with each other. They had all these great matches. But you could tell, like, they're two young guys on the ascent. And that's what these guys are. They're two young guys like Sammy and Hangman. Young guys on the ascent. But in this case, they've had a feud going now for weeks. And they took Darby out, big injury angle. So in this case, it didn't have to be anything on the line. It was a grudge match.
Well, they are on the up and coming. Those guys are future stars. It's just that I like it when they fight for something. And
it was a grudge match.
I was just thinking like...
They're fighting to win. They're fighting for bragging rights.
It was a grudge match, but, you know, I think some of the best matches that Rock and Triple H had were for the... for the WWF title, and I was thinking with this match tonight, boy, I would really like for them to be fighting over a championship, but there's only two singles titles in AEW right now, and the FPW title, I don't really want to consider that one a title, but I was thinking it may be time for a third singles title, and I'm a little apprehensive about saying that because you don't want to water down all the championships.
I think that's a bad idea.
But here's the thing. That third championship, I was wondering, if it was like a Gift of the Gods title from Lucha Underground, what would you think of that?
I like the concept of the Gift of the Gods. I actually like the belt too. The whole thing with the they had like magnets on them, right? The little emblems that would kind of fit into the belt. I love that actually. That was a really cool concept. Yeah, I guess a concept like that would. I guess it's almost like their version of Money in the Bank, in a way. It could work. It's not just a regular. If it's not just a regular title, I just don't. I think just adding another belt would be stupid. I think that would be a big mistake.
I agree with you on that. And so the reason why I bring this idea up is because I don't want it to just be like Money in the Bank either. I want it to be something that has to be defended, you know, say once every month. That way, it is a title that's being fought for, but it's a title that you fight for in order to get a championship opportunity for the AEW title.
Well, but here's the thing. And here's the problem with that. First of all, they have the big difference between WWE and AEW or Lucha Underground and AEW. AEW has a ranking system. So you have the ranking system, and then occasionally they will have, as they do whenever they have the Battle Royals, now they're going to have a tournament, which is great because a tournament is something that can play out over a period of weeks and fill up a lot of TV time. So they have these gimmicks that they throw out there, a ladder match, a battle royal, a tournament, to crown the number one contender for the AEW world title. They do this every couple of months, maybe. So if you're going to have that title, then you can't really do those other things because you're not just going to constantly have these matches to crown a number one contender for a title when you have a ranking system. So there's got to be a balance. I mean, I'd be open to the idea, but there's got to be a balance. If you're going to do that, you're going to take away these other matches and tournaments and things.
You want to hear what the balance is?
Sure.
Here's the balance. The balance is the top four guys in the ranking system are the ones who fight for the AEW Gift of the Gods like title.
Well, I mean, that would be one way to kind of tie it all together. You could do that. Sure. Because then people would want to fight.
For that person,
people would
want to fight. Yeah, that person who wins holds that title, and then they defend it, you know, once every month. But the thing is that every time they defend it, it's a more difficult match. So you also have this added twist where you're fighting against time because you're holding the title. But the longer you hold it, the more difficult it is to hold it. So you have to really pick and choose the right opportunity to when you want to cash in the title. I don't want to call it a cash in, but. You know, it's the same concept basically as the cash in with the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
But that's my idea. I don't know how it would work, but I do agree with you that if you did that with a Gift of the Gods title, you would lose some of the other things that AEW does with the ranking system. So I understand your point.
Yeah, no, I mean it's an idea worth considering. Because you just don't want to overcomplicate it, but it's an idea that I think they could do, and if, as you said, they can somehow tie the rankings into it, then at least it doesn't feel like you're just sort of completely disregarding your own ranking system. So, yeah, that could work.
All right, then. Well, thank you very much for giving me the time to divulge that idea, and I appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right, you too. The Gift of the Gods. Yeah, the Gift of the Gods was a very interesting concept. There's a lot of elements of Lucha Underground that I do miss. It was very unique. Just a fun show to watch. True Heel Master says, Minoru Suzuki to win the G1 Climax. It'd be fine with me. I'd have no issue there. I'm amazed every time I watch him. When I saw that match with Shingo from the baseball stadium, what was it, Jingu Stadium or whatever it was, when he won the never open weight title about I don't know if it was a month, a few weeks ago. The way he was moving around in there, and Suzuki now is what, 52, 53? He's been around forever. I mean, he was doing MMA. He was doing wrestling. He moves around. You would never think that he was as old as he is. So, yeah, he's an older guy, but he still moves around. No knee pads. Guy's a freak. And a True Heel Master again. Practical effects or CGI in horror film? I think that there is a place for CGI. I'm just gonna shit on CGI, but I'm a practical effects guy. I mean, without question. I've been going back recently and watching some of these movies from the 80s and stuff, and you got to be careful because you can do practical effects and you want them to look scary, but they look so bad, it's almost comedy. But there's a lot of horror movies from that 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, where they use practical effects. I think practical effects, when executed properly, are even creepier. There's just something about it that's even creepier. I think back to The Thing, you know, and you can come up with a whole bunch of different movies. Some of those vampire movies, some of the effects in those, Fright Night and stuff, those were practical effects, I think, largely. And it's pretty scary shit. So I wish there was more practical effects in film. It just this wasn't this over-reliance on CGI. I'm going to make that my next t-shirt. I'm a practical effects guy. That's me. All right, I want to try 346 just because I had to hang up before because there was nobody there. Let's see if he's there. 346.
You know Sammy Guevara is in your chat, right?
Sammy Guevara is in my chat every single week. Sammy Guevara is like a huge fan.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Okay. Was that the only question? I guess that was the only question. That wasn't even a question. That was a statement. Apparently, Sammy Guevara is in the... Oh, boy, I'm really happy I took that call. All right, guys. I hate to end on that. We can't end on that. I don't think that would be... We can't end on that, right? We can't do that. 423.
Hey, Jason. This is me, James. How you doing, man?
Good, James. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I thought AEW was good tonight. I mean, you know, I knew Cody was going to accept the challenge, you know, make the go against Brody Lee. What do you think of Sean? We think of Mr. Cassidy. You think he's getting over now?
Some people were upset that I made the comment a few weeks ago that I thought he. Oh, whoa, were you talking about Isaiah Cassidy?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Orange. You got to specify which Cassidy you were talking about. All right, so, yeah, forget that. I thought we were talking about Orange Cassidy. Yeah, I think tonight let me just say this. I think tonight Isaiah Cassidy had a very good showing. You know, he went in there. Like I said, he's had one singles match in the last 5 years before tonight. So it's not something he's used to doing. And Jericho gave him as much as he could. It's not a match people are going to remember. The way people, it's not like it was such a memorable match that 6 months or a year from now people are going to remember it, but he went in there and I thought he had a very good singles match. So, yeah, I thought he did well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think AEW's, you know, doing what they can do, and it's people like AEW. I mean, you know, people... I think sooner or later we're going to see a full horseman sooner than later. I mean, that's what one of my friends was telling about that yesterday, and he wants to see a full horseman so bad it's not even funny.
Well, if he sets his sights on it and gets too, you know, invested in that idea, and then it doesn't happen, he's going to be very disappointed. I still think that we will end up with some kind of foursome, but. No guarantees. There's no guarantee. I mean, they were teasing it, right? Yeah. They were dropping all these little subtle hints, and Cody would scratch his face, and he would put four fingers up. So I think something is going to happen. But tell your friend not to get his hopes up too much.
I won't, Jason. I won't. And I was gonna say, man, I hope you have a good week, good weekend. You know, the weekend coming up, and hey, October's here. It's baseball playoffs. Yep. Sports to watch, so, you know, I'm just saying.
Hell yeah.
But you have a good one.
All right, you too, James. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. It's October. It's the World Series, right? It's Halloween. It's my birthday next week. It's Halloween. Did I mention that already? Big Halloween fan? Jackalope Music, that was this was another great podcast and another great night from wrestling. And that is a great super chat to end on. And one last quick note. One of our fine sponsors is ExpressVPN, back in the Sound Off family. And if you wanted to get 3 free months of ExpressVPN on top of a 1-year plan, all you got to do is use our link, expressvpn.com/Solomonster. It's a service. I use it. I was plugging them a while back, in fact, and a lot of people I know took advantage of the deal. So go ahead and get in on that, because you can use a VPN for a lot of different things, especially for security reasons. So use our link, expressvpn.com/Solomonster. Thank you for all your support all throughout the month of September. Thank you for your support here tonight. And I will check out NXT tomorrow, see how that stacks up against the AEW show today. But I will be back with you on Sunday for episode 672. And don't forget, live right here on YouTube, as soon as NXT TakeOver goes off the air on Sunday night, NXT TakeOver 31, I'm going to be back with you. And again, next week for AEW Dynamite, that is the Chris Jericho 30-year anniversary. Thank you all for your support. I'll see you guys Sunday.